Finance, please come to order. It's 1:34 p.m. on the 11th of February 2013. We have members present: Vice Chair Newman, Representative Thompson, Representative Edgman, didn't call you Representative Bryce, Representative Davis, Co-Chair Osterman, Stoltz, Representative Guerra, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Holmes, and Representative Munoz. Did I say Davis? I'm just seeing if you were Representative Wilson. Where does Davis? Now, what did you do to influence me saying that? So we have a quorum to do business, and absent to return tomorrow, Representative Costello. We have one bill before us today, and we have a the bill was dealt with in subcommittee. We're going to, we don't have session tomorrow, so we'll bring the CS out. The public will have a chance to testify today, and we'll leave it open in case there is any interest tomorrow. And I wanted Representative Costello to be able to present the subcommittee's work. So we have. Why don't I invite the sponsor and or staff up if they wish to. We have them in place. Does everybody have the work product of the subcommittee as a proposed House Finance CS? Representative Newman.
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute 28-LSO180/Y dated 2/11/13 be adopted for a purpose of today's discussion.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the Finance Committee CS as stated by the Vice Chair is adopted. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon.
And a good one it is.
It's always good afternoon. Mr. Chairman, committee members, for the record, Representative Chenault. With that, Mr. Chairman, while I did attend one of the meetings that of the subcommittee, I would ask that my staff maybe go through and review with the committee members on what
was changed. Sure. Why don't we have Mr. Walton join as well, in case he can addendum anything that he feels compelled to say. Well, the bill was signed subcommittee chaired by Representative Costello, with members Representative Davis and Representative Wilson. Gosh, where is that coming from? Representative Tammy Wilson. It was a great committee there. I'm just gonna leave it at that. We will go. I don't know where I'm going here today. I'm out of practice. Mr. Speaker, I'll yield to the staff members to discuss the subcommittee process and the result. Yeah, where's that coming from?
Through the chair, for the record, Joshua Walton, staff to Representative Mia Costello, and I also served as the aide to the subcommittee that reviewed and considered House Bill 30. And with the committee's indulgence, I'd be happy to speak to the changes that were made. I'd also like to take this opportunity to express the thanks of the subcommittee for the help of the speaker and his office, the co-chairs of the Finance Committee and their offices, and the members of the subcommittee, Representatives Osterman, Representative Wilson, and Representative Guerra. The House Finance Subcommittee for House Bill 30 met twice last week, mornings of Monday and Wednesday, here in House Finance Committee Room, and considered House Bill 30. We heard testimony from Representative Chenault, the sponsor, from Sharon Kelly, seated to my left, who is a staff member to Representative Chenault, from two policy analysts from the National Conference of State Legislatures, Todd Haggerty and Brenda Erickson, and from Chris Curtis, the legislative auditor. As a result of the deliberations of the subcommittee and from the testimony that we heard, the following changes were recommended by the subcommittee to be made. You may have before you the subcommittee report, and the line numbers that I'm going to reference right now are in reference to the original bill, and I will also point out where they are in the version that you have in front of you. The first is to page 4, lines 12 and 14. In that, and those changes replace all instances of the year 2015 with 2017. To page 4, line 15 replaces 2016 to 2015. To page 4, line 16, replacing 2017 with 2016. And then for all the lines incorporated there, reorders the paragraphs so that the agencies are listed in chronological order. The effect of those, of that collection of changes, is the agencies and the years in which they come under review have a different order. We start off with corrections, Department of Corrections in 2014, then move to Health and Social Services in 2015. The Department of Education and Early Development in 2016, and the offices of the governor, legislature, agencies of the legislature, and the Alaska court system in 2017. The agencies in the years following that remain unchanged. The intent for that was to allow for the larger departments to be evaluated earlier so that the legislature can use that information sooner than it would have been under the original bill. Moving on to where the bill discusses what information the agencies shall provide to the review teams. Starting on page 5, line 14, it replaces paragraph C, are not essential, with C, are not essential to the agency mission or delivery of the agency's core services. The intent here is to clarify what is meant by the word essential so that it's less open to interpretation and to help ensure that the legislature receives the work product that it wants.
I'm not sure what it means either. Every time they announce on the radio that non-essential employees stay home, I always try to rush to work.
Please proceed. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should also point out that that change to page 5, line 14, you can find those changes now on lines 14 and 15 of page 5 of the version of the bill in front of you. Page 5, lines 17 to 19. The change was made to delete all material and replace with the following. Paragraph 4, all information submitted to the legislature in the agency's most recent submission under Alaska Statutes 37.07.050, including agency mission, results-based measures, prioritization of core services, and all programs within the core services from the most important to the least important. You can find those changes in the version in front of you on still on page 5, but now lines 18 through 21. The intent for this was to, first note that the statutory reference, Alaska Statutes 37.07.050, refers to agencies' financial plans they're required to make under that statute. That includes mission statements, measures, I believe the 10-year plan as well. And the intent behind this change was to explicitly include results-based measuring within the information that the agencies are required to present to the review team. Moving to discussion of what information the review team will analyze and their duties, a change to page 6, line 8. In your new version, it shows up on page 6, line 10. We insert a new paragraph 1 that says all material provided under Alaska Statutes 44.66.020, C, subsection, or section C, paragraph 4. That is the paragraph that's referenced in the amendment previously discussed, and that simply directs the review team to analyze the previously specified material as part of their analysis. Moving to the discussion of what goes into the report generated by the review team, there's a collection. I'm going to address the first two changes as a group because they complement each other. First is deleting paragraph 1. This is on page 7, line 1, which you'll now find starting on line 4 of page 7 of the version you have in front of you. This deletes paragraph 1, evaluate the efficiency and effectiveness of the agency's program, and insert the following. Paragraph 1, evaluate the success of the agency in achieving its mission through the effective and efficient delivery of its core services, goals, programs, and objectives. Paragraph 2, determine whether the agency's results-based measures demonstrate the effectiveness and efficiency of the agency's core services, goals, programs, and objectives, and recommend changes if necessary. And paragraph 3, determine whether the results-based measures were useful in conducting the review and recommend changes if necessary. The original bill would evaluate the review team's report, program effectiveness and efficiency and the success that the agency had in meeting its mission. These changes would result in the review team's report containing evaluation of the agency's success via program effectiveness and efficiency, evaluating the effectiveness and efficiency directly as measured by the results-based measures, and analyzing the usefulness of the measures themselves. Page 7, the change to page 7, lines 6 through 8, deletes paragraph 4, which was replaced as part of the first first three paragraphs that are mentioned before. So paragraphs 1 and 2 were taken out and reinserted with an additional focus on the results-based measures. The next three changes to page 7, line 10, page 7, line 17, and page 7, line 23 are grammar fixes. Those can be found now on page 7, lines 17, 24, and 30, respectively. Change to page 7, lines 25 through 27, deleting all material and replacing with the following. Paragraph 13, identify services provided by programs and functions duplicated by another government agency or private entity, and recommend the most effective and efficient way to perform those services. This is now, you'll find it on page 8, lines 1 through 3. The intent behind this amendment previously, in the previous bill, it was to identify programs and functions, and the subcommittee felt that the focus really should be on the services that are provided and whether or not those services are duplicated rather than the programs themselves, and recommend the most efficient and effective way to consolidate those where possible. The original bill also had specified that the report was to recommend single entities, and it was felt by the subcommittee that while that would be useful, it shouldn't be limited to that. On the following page, to page 8, line 2, which is now lines 9 through 10, following paragraph 15, identify reductions, we insert the words and efficiencies. That now shows up in your in the version you have as paragraph 16. And the intent there is to specify that efficiencies and reductions may be addressed in the report. And the final change is to go through all of those and renumber the sections as appropriate. And those are the changes made by the subcommittee, recommended by the subcommittee, I should say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, any commentary on the subcommittee's work?
Mr. Chairman, I think that the subcommittee has done some fine work in eliminating some of the issues that members had. I think it's made it a better process, so we're comfortable with the changes that have been made.
Any questions for Mr. Walton? Is there anybody online that's or in the room that wanted to testify in this measure? There is nobody. Is there anybody in the room? I thought the Mayor of Palmer might have scurried down so she can endorse this. Looking forward to another printing, see if we can break that past the 30 mark on sponsors, Mr. Speaker. On the printed, you may have that already on the journal. We'll go ahead and close public testimony. I think Mr. Walton has done such a thorough job here. I don't know that Representative Costello could add much. He'd probably have you testify again. So we'll go through the fiscal note. Are there any questions on the fiscal notes from members? We have our audit division, and we have. Let's see, is that the only? Do we just have the one fiscal note, Mr. Co-Chair? Deputy. I believe that's it. Are there any questions on these fiscal notes? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question on the contractual consultant costs and whether it would be better to have Ledge Audit and Budget Division have their own internal staff, or if this is typically the way it would be done. Maybe this is a policy call.
Mr. Walton, was that discussed in any measure? We can bring Ms. Curtis up if you don't have any.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Kawasaki through the chair. This was discussed in subcommittee. However, for the particulars of the fiscal note, I would defer to legislative audit to speak to the fiscal note.
Ms. Curtis, would you care to comment on this? One of our most important functions is the fiscal note aspect, so we'll explore that.
Representative Kawasaki, through the chair. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. The fiscal note includes quite a comprehensive amount for extensive support from contractual entities. It's my understanding in the previous year's work groups that this was discussed at length, and I want to clarify that this process, these are performance reviews. These are not audits done in accordance with standards. And the role legislative audit will play in this process is one of facilitator. The review team itself will be composed of experts in the industry, for instance, Department of Corrections. These will be folks that have a special knowledge of institutions, inmate health care, that type of expertise that we do not have on staff. And to have employ folks for 1 year, for a one-year project, I think would be challenging as employees to find them, employ them, and then release them. Likely, these folks will be out of state with national expertise, a knowledge of other states' processes. So that was discussed during the previous year's work groups, and this type of format was set up.
Follow-up?
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just my comment would be that, these audits, or not audits, I'm sorry, these performance reviews are going to be beneficial in the future, probably beneficial to this legislative body. It seems like if there were some sort of in-house training that one of the people in-house could actually benefit from that, and we could use them in perpetuity to cover that specific department in the future, rather than always going out to contract for specific performance reviews. It was just a thought.
Would the person doing a performance review on health and social services have the same breadth of expertise as somebody doing one on Department of Environmental Conservation? Or is that a transferable skill to look at hospital regs?
Through the chair, I don't know. I don't think comprehensively they would be the same individuals, although this might require multiple. Let's say the regulation side, and that might be transferable. A point of clarification as well, there will be positions added to legislative audit that will serve as support on the ground for the consultants. And these individuals will stay with legislative audit, and that expertise can be transferred.
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. Thank you. The bill, or the fiscal note, shows that two people will be hired first and then a third person in 2015. Will those be legislative budget and audit employees, and will they have other tasks? Will this be their sole duty, or will they have other?
Representative Munoz, through the chair, they will be legislative audit employees full-time. We'll start off with one full-time and then hire a second full-time a few months later as we get the process up and going. They will not be auditors. They will have a different skill set. I'm expecting maybe MBAs. We will do continuous procurement. That's going to be a big role of these folks. Finding the experts, drafting the contracts, monitoring the contracts, facilitating the report process. They will be extremely busy all the time, and I think it'll be their full-time job to focus on the performance reviews.
Okay. And then as a follow-up to that, then in every budget that we've looked at, there are increases, personnel cost increases on an annual basis, and I'm wondering why that's not reflected in this fiscal note.
Representative Mills, through the chair, the increases, we don't know what they'll be at this point. They're annually we would be increasing those amounts, per increases in the working reserve and increases in salary rates and increases in health insurance. At this point, we wouldn't know those increases.
Thank you. Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Can I turn you to page 5 of the bill? This is an issue I've talked to the speaker about, and we'll talk after the meeting is over too. So when the report is issued, all of the legislators and the public, I suppose, who will be able to get it. And the way the bill is written right now, there are sort of three standards where you try and see if you can get cuts out of first. One's where you don't serve a current need on line 11, that aren't authorized by the Constitution, that aren't essential to the agency. Those are the ones that you're looking for first. And then on lines 9 and 10, it suggests, obviously, that if you can't find 10% in those three categories, then you try and find other priority cuts that, I suppose, lead to the least disruption or harm to make it down to the 10%. But the way the bill is written, will somebody reading this know what the reason for the proposed cut is? Is there any requirement in the bill right now that a reader be told, oh, that one was cut because it didn't serve a current need? Or is there no requirement right now that a reader of the report be told what the reason for the cut was?
We will slip to broad discussion of the bill outside of the fiscal note discussion. So,
Right.
But yeah. Please, go ahead. We'll stay informal here for the expedition.
Representative Gareth, through the chair. I have to read it again. I don't know right off without thinking about that specific question while I'm reading the bill. I'd have to go back, and I don't know if anyone else can respond to that, but I think that's a question I'd have to go back and read through the bill.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Kelly?
Through the chair, Sharon Kelly's staff to Speaker Chenault, we have discussed this with Representative Guerra. And Representative Guerra, when we talked about it at the previous meeting last week, I believe that if someone is from an agency is going to make a list like this, they're going to find it important to add that information, even though the bill doesn't say that, because they're going to want the folks that are making the determination on their budget to know exactly where it falls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, my preference is I agree with that. I agree that they should do that. I just think we should probably put that in the bill in case some of the agency members don't do that without a statutory directive. But that's a discussion we'll have between now and tomorrow.
Any other questions on the fiscal note? We'll go ahead and I'm looking at Representative Casella would probably want to move this along. Her staff did a more than adequate job going through this. I want to thank the co-chair, Representative Wilson, and Representative Guerra for the work on the subcommittee. I just did that so I could say her name right. Representative Newman, do you have a motion for the bill and the fiscal notes?
Mr. Chair, I thought we were holding this committee.
You stepped away. We decided to move it on. I thought it would be nice to have Representative Costello here, but I think she would rather the bill move on, and her staff did a more than adequate job in going through it, and I think she would like it to move on.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
I'm sorry. I also I was hoping I could have a discussion with folks between now and tomorrow about one possible amendment.
Why don't we?
The one that we just discussed.
Mr. Speaker, do you have any?
Have any objection to it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, then we'll hold that. We'll hold that, and we'll hold your motion, and we'll set the bill aside if there are no other questions. And we are firm believers in process here. I think this is a fairly light day today. Is there anything else to come before the body? We have on tomorrow's calendar, we have this bill will carry over, and please get any amendments before the end of today so we can make sure that members see it and that the sponsor's office can see it as well. And tomorrow we will take up House Bill 22. It's an extension of the Board of Marine Pilots, and House Bill 26, sunset extension of the Board of Public Accountancy. Those in addition to House Bill 30. So with that, no other business. We will adjourn.